What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Back to Cool Games Inc., a video game design podcast from Polygon.com. I almost said from Cool Games Inc. We're that big.
I think we're getting there.
We generate our own podcast. I'm Griffin McElroy.
I'm Nick Robinson. Do you think if we play our cards right, if we get like three really good games in a row, we can just buy Polygon and then we can change the URL to Polygon, a Cool Games Inc. brand.
A Cool Games Inc. product. Maybe. I mean, we're at one because Barbershop Online was the best fucking video game idea we've ever had. And I'm just curious if we want to check in on fiduciary financial numbers. What are we working with?
We're working with some big numbers.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I think making it free to play was really, really smart. You insisted that everybody get a free pair of scissors at launch for launch week.
And also a hair pill, which is a pill that you can take that makes your hair instantly grow back. Everybody gets one of those at start.
It's like a coin doubler, but for hair.
Your second hair pill, $100.
Yeah, and I think that quick, the way it kind of spikes up like that was a big source of income. Because nobody gets, and they'll tell you this at haircut school, nobody gets it right on the first haircut. You know? The first one's going to be a mess, and you're going to want to clean that up.
I'm glad to hear that we have such a big influx of cashola, because I have a pet project that I was hoping to, I would get your consent to invest in my pet project.
Okay.
It's going to be outside of sort of corporate time, so I do need you to sign off on the expenditure.
Sure.
And I'm curious, will you listen to my pitch for the expenditure?
I'll always hear you out.
I would like to take the hundreds of millions of dollars that we've made we're going to set some of that aside, nest egg for the next game. The rest of it is going to go towards canceling the Suicide Squad movie.
Okay. Now that's going to be, because there's a lot of moving parts to consider.
There's a bunch of parts.
Is it, there are a lot of questions. We're going to have to get Jared to sign off on it. And that's going to be really hard because, as you know, he is stuck in character for the rest of 2016 per his contract. Yeah. So he's obviously, well, maybe he would like it though. Cause you know, the Joker, he loves chaos.
He loves chaos.
There's nothing
and this would be,
he loves more than his movie being canceled.
This would chaotic.
Imagine.
This would be so chaotic. Like taking the movie that you are going to be very bad in and I'm going to make it so nobody ever sees it. And I tell you where my ire comes from. Cause I've seen some of the trailers and they're fun. Will Smith is back. Mr. July. It's good to see you. Blockbuster Bill is what I call him. So good to have you back, Blockbuster Bill. The one problem, I mean, there's lots of problems, but one main one that I was just sort of alerted to, I got a little AP news alert on my phone. One of the characters is named Slipknot.
Okay. I know this is a comedy podcast, but I think you should make it clear that you are joking and there's not a character named
one
Slipknot.
One of the characters in the Suicide Squad is called Slipknot.
Right. And that would be so funny if it was true. But again, I'm just worried because people listen to this podcast and sometimes they get like, when is Griffin joking and when is he telling the truth? I feel like people could come away from this thinking, Slipknot, Suicide Squad. People could come away from this thinking that that's a real thing. Oh, this is interesting. It looks like Google is also joking. Somebody has, maybe the Joker's vandalized this Wikipedia article to make it seem like there was a real DC Comics character named Slipknot. That's very much in character for the Joker, I feel like.
Just looking at some of the other members here, it looks like there's Mudvayne.
Mm-hmm. Is it spelled V-A-Y-N-E?
Cause that it's actually A-I-N. I don't know why they would change that one up. Limp Bizkit.
Right. There is a guy who can kind of melt himself down like Alex Mack style, who is just called Puddle of Mud, which I thought was an interesting.
Yeah, that one's fun.
With two D's.
And then there's one that can like just sort of blast like an odor that is so bad that it kills and makes people die, and they're called Hoobastank.
Wow. That is good.
Hey, Suicide Squad!
I'm so fucking ready.
Can we talk about your membership? Like, what the fucking policy is to allow people into your club?
They should, like, workshop the names before they put it out there. They should all get together as a team. And, like, I feel like even the Joker, who I'm pretty sure, like, has the word evil evil laugh. He just has the words evil laugh with evil asterisk laughter on each side of it tattooed across his forehead. I think even he would be like, okay, but Slipknot? Like, that's a little ominous.
And here, like, we know how these things work now. Each of the people in the squad are going to get three of their own fucking movies. They've already confirmed that Harley Quinn's going to get their own movie, although Margot Robbie in that role, that's a revelation of casting. Well done. Mm-hmm. But as a result, we're going to have a Slipknot standalone movie where people have packed into a theater opening night and the words Warner Brother presents and Slipknot. Then the word Slipknot is going to appear.
I love that, though. Because it scores itself, obviously. And that's helpful.
It's unconscionable. I can't conscience it.
You can't conscience the release of this movie. What would be the steps to getting it canceled? Because they've probably printed all the different posters. That's tough for us. The movie is probably, if they're using a film reel, they've probably made the film already. What do we have to do to kind of reverse, like roll it back?
I mean, I think how much are they going to make opening weekend? I mean, probably a few hundo mil, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about the box office.
So
business.
If we could get like a kind of a one-off crowdfunding campaign, I'm sure we can get 100 million people to give a dollar to stop this movie from coming out. We'll just
or
like,
to
here,
edit
take
to
this.
Edit out all the Slipknot scenes.
I don't know that something tells me that in practice, Slipknot might not be the hardest part to watch of Suicide Squad.
And Jesus. I mean, while we're at it, if we could just sort of excise the Leto as well, that would be cool.
How about
could we just make it so that whenever
just Will Smith, is that an option? Cut out everyone who's not Will Smith. It'd be a much shorter film, but I think it would be a tighter, denser package.
Fuck yes. Maybe we just make it so we get all the characters back in the studio and we just get them to do a bit of pickup VO. So that when they do say the name Slipknot, it like very quickly cuts to a camera shot from behind that person and it edits it in. It's like, we're going to need one more member of the Suicide Squad. And I think you know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Dark Greg.
I think that's smart. It would be hard, I think, because I was in some of those early meetings with the rest of the writing crew and a lot of people were pushing really hard. Because I was like, we should not call it Slipknot. This is too... I know that that's the name of the original character, but we should mix it up. And everyone in the writer's room was like, okay, how about System of a Down? How about... Like, they just kept saying other new metal bands.
I mean, I'm sure it's like a comic book character from, like, the 80s or something like that. Like, I'm sure there has been a character named Slipknot, but you don't have that name anymore.
That's true.
I'm sorry. You don't. You don't have that name anymore. If there was a superhero from like 1920 named Saddam Hussein, you can't put them in the Suicide Squad movie. The name doesn't. It's not what that means anymore.
It's been usurped by the other.
Here's the track list from Slipknot's first self-titled album.
Mm-hmm.
Just gonna run down through some of the highlights: Eyeless, Wait and Bleed, Spit It Out, Tattered and Torn, Frail Limb Nursery, Purity, Liberate, Prosthetics, No Life.
All these, by the way, better superhero names than Slipknot, insofar as they're not the name of the band Slipknot already.
This is my supervillain nemesis, Frail Limb Nursery. Diluted, Only One, Scissors.
Did you know, this is a fun fact, there's a Slipknot song off their 2001 album Iowa, and the name of the track, I'm not joking, name of the track is People /Shit. Which, again, that's a problem for Suicide Squad, because that's the tattoo on the Joker's back. It just says People equals shit.
And it's pointing to his butt, and there's a poop emoji. This fucking movie. Slipknot. Hey, let's do some game pitches, huh?
Yeah, I'm down. We're at, like, 9 minutes in, right?
Yeah.
That was a lot of Suicide Squad.
It's a lot of Slipknot chat.
Yep.
I have one here. It was sent in by Sam Sweet. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sam. Sam says, British Bake Off, but contestants have to invent convoluted heist plans instead of creating delicious desserts.
I love this. I favorited this one, too. I'm going to go ahead and put my foot down and say that Mary is still judging the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Mary is like a long-retired cat burglar. But
she's like, kind of like the Q in this situation.
In her heyday, though, she would steal some shit. Paul Hollywood, definitely active in the scene still.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of a bruiser type, I think. Like, he's not the greaser that, like, gets in there and makes the hard jumps. I think he goes in, and if there's punching to be done, I think Paul fucking Hollywood's the one to do it.
I'm imagining him right now, and it's probably been 2 or 3 months since I watched Great British Bake Off, but I'm just imagining the Cockney dude from Uncharted 3. You know who I'm talking about?
He'd
have that. Well, that's fair, I guess. But the fake Jason Statham from Uncharted 3 is who him being like.
Yeah, that's what I'm into. So there would be three rounds, right? And the first one would be a heist that they have prepared all to rob the same building. And so it'd be like, well, I want to go in through the vents and I want to drop gas into the room and then I'm going to rappel down. It's like, nah, fuck that. I'm going to use, I'm just going to run in full force, going to sort of run and gun it. And then they judge it based on that. And I think you get to like draw it up on like floor plans and shit. Second one would be how you would rob a building you've never seen before.
Which, by the way, just like cooking a dish you've never made before, completely impossible. Totally setting yourself up to lose. Just an unfair challenge.
I'm watching this new season of The Great British Bake Off.
Yeah.
And they have run out of things to like throw at these people that they don't know about. Because the second round in every episode is a recipe they don't know. And the recipe's like, make the bread. That's a fucking great recipe. Thank you. And now it's just like some sort of Spanish cheese and nut log that six people total have ever eaten. It's like, damn, thanks, Paul. It's a toughie.
They're escalating. So I'm trying to figure out because Mary has a specific sort of tenor to the way she speaks. She's able to really couch her criticism and her judgment in a way that makes you feel safe. She doesn't make you ever feel attacked.
This was a lovely heist.
That's what I'm wondering. It's like, if I'm a contestant and you're Mary and I'm like, all right, my plan is to punch open all the windows with my bare hands, no gloves.
Oh, dearie, it's a little bit violent, isn't it?
I'll put the glass in my mouth, and I'm going to spit it at the bank tellers, and hopefully that'll just scare them a little, and then I'll take the money and just kind of walk out the front door. I've got a van that is green. I've painted a dollar sign on the side of it so that I know it's my money van, and I'm going to ride out in that.
It's a bit Slipknot, isn't it?
Your
plan is a bit shit, right?
I guess you're right, Mary. Back to the drawing board.
No, I'm going to ask you to leave. And then the third one would just be like, the showstopper would just be like, I'm going to rob a blimp in the sky. Fuck you. No, you can't. You can't do that.
But then it's like some 14-year-old prodigy girl who pulls it off somehow, just like in British Bake Off. That'd be
excellent.
That's how it ends. How about here's one from Smelly at 8 on Twitter who says, enough of these girls' games. How about something for the lads ages 16 to 35? Which I think is such a good point. I had to go to GameStop yesterday because I needed some new Minecraft figurines. And I was just looking at everything on all the shelves and I was like, where's
the
stuff
for
me?
Lads.
Yeah, where's the stuff for the lads ages 16 to 35? So I'm thinking, like, if we were to design a video game for, you know, for men, what would be good to have in there?
Well, I would want it to come with a diaper. I don't know. It's gotta involve just like not giving things a chance.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be like, what is the most, it's gotta be like a platformer, I think, like a 2D platformer that just like everyone knows about. I don't know. This is tough. What do boys like?
Guns. Cars.
I mean, women like guns and cars too, though.
I guess what I'm thinking is, what would appeal to a 16 to 35-year-old man?
A gun car, yeah.
A gun car is probably a big part of that.
Sounds like you got a gun car outside your apartment
backing
there.
Backing up.
I mean, can we just make the case of the game blue, and then they'll know?
Oh, because that way they know it's for boys. Like, we make it a baby blue.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Rocket ships, definitely.
Toy
guns,
cars, trains.
Toy cars, trains. Action men.
Yeah. Army men. They should do a video game with army guys.
Army
in
men
it.
that eat steak. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good. Old-timey gun.
And what if there's only one copy of this game in existence, so you just have to fucking fight for it on a football field?
Give you a good tackle.
How about another one?
For me?
No, I'll read it.
Oh, okay.
Bimillennial man says, that's Helen Mirren.
Well, hold on. How about that's the submission?
Bimillennial man.
Yeah.
It's like bicentennial man. Except like way more open-minded and like, cool. Bimillennial man, Helen Ayers on Twitter says, BMX stunts for the troops.
Okay.
So this would be like a, we haven't had like a good, well, we haven't had a good skateboarding game in forever either, but we haven't had a good BMX game in even longer.
That's
I would
true.
So like, this is a genre I would love to revive, but maybe the whole time you're doing it, instead of getting points, you get troop cheers.
Got it.
And while you're like in the air, like doing your whirly gigs, you're just like, fight good.
And there's kind of a horse mechanic.
I think you would be Matt Hoffman. He's one, right?
Yeah, Matt Hoffman was, he was one of the non, maybe, was he the, maybe he was a surfing one or the bike. He was one of the non-Tony Hawk, Tony Hawk.
Travis
right?
Pastrana. Oh, he's more motorbikes, but maybe we can get those in the thing too.
Yeah.
But I think you go up and you're doing the stunts and you just yell like, be brave out there. Yes. Thanks for the service. Yes. And you're like waving a flag and shit.
So let me just, I want to make sure I have a crystal clear
yeah.
image of the scenario you're painting.
Yeah.
You are a man on a bike or motorbike.
Or a woman
or
on a bike.
A woman, or you're a person on a bike / motorbike, and your audience is troops.
All troops.
And you, mid-stunt, have made it your mission to kind of commend the troops mid-stunt. Which puts sort of an exclusive spin on your tricks to make it so clear that these are tricks for the troops.
Yeah, I guess if you don't like that, I guess maybe support the... Maybe you don't support the troops.
And I think that's what we'll say when we send out our package to all the websites that are going to review the game.
Just like, think about...
By the way, if you don't like this game, just maybe stop and think about what that says about you. And
is it possible that the troops, after you do the BMX stunt part of the game, the troops actually go out there and you control them sort of real-time strategy style, and their strength and power, it all relates to how inspired they were by your fucking tight-ass bicycle stunts.
I like that. There's a one-to-one relationship between
yes.
how many wheelies you did and how good the troops are at doing a fight.
You got one?
Yeah, here's one from Sir 5000, Team Pippis on Twitter.
I did a Vine when I was staying at a beach house, and there was a sign hanging in the bathroom of the beach house that said Pippis Peepee's room.
Just to be clear, P-I-P-I-S space R-O-O-M.
And I did a Vine where I was looking around frantically saying, where's the Pippis, where's the Pippis? And then I go into the Pippis room and I found it.
Yeah.
That Vine has 1.5 million loops on it, and I don't know what the audience... I'm not quite sure what the audience is for the Pippis Room saga.
If I've learned one thing about Vine, it's the popularity of your Vine is inversely proportional to how popular you think it's going to be. If you do something that is just a complete slam run home dunk, it's nothing. Nothing happens. But if you just do a Vine of like... a dog doing a flip, and then you put the Flintstones theme over it, that's, for some reason, we'll have 8 million loops. That's just how it works.
All right, give me that suggestion.
So Team Pippis's suggestion is Tetris, but the pieces dropped are determined by amiibo that represent each block shape, and you can only use that amiibo once.
So this is a game you can play, like, how many amiibo are there? Like 120?
Well,
maybe?
you can buy duplicates, though, I'm assuming.
Oh, my God.
And that's the rub, right? What's right about that is that... either you're using existing amiibo. Tell me which you prefer. Using existing amiibo, or we release amiibo of the extant Tetris blocks, the T block, the L block, the line. And then in reality, you could actually use your amiibo to build a Tetris solution.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
That mirrors your in-game Tetris solution.
If you... What would they look like? Luigi would probably be like a four-piece straight up, right?
Yeah, because
like, just kind of a
skinny
boy.
Smash Bros. Amiibo is him doing his victory taunt, where he just kind of curves himself into kind of a crescent moon shape. So that could
be. DDD would be like a square, I think, just based on the sort of shape of the thing.
Right. Kirby would be the world's first
just be
circle.
Just one circle. I mean, that's the more fun idea, isn't it? Is Tetris, but with random shapes, not necessarily tetrominoes.
Yeah. We got another submission that was like a Tetris-like game where you're scanning real-world objects into the game. There was a PS3 downloadable game called Trash Panic. I don't know if you ever played that, which was literally exactly that idea with like a robust physics model. You're just putting garbage in the trash and slamming it down in there.
Oh, but you're not taking pictures with the PlayStation Eye.
No.
So that's what I'm all about. Is like I'm gonna take pictures of all my cousins, and now I'm gonna stack them up.
Cousin Panic. That's a good game. There was a 3DS Chibi Robo game. There's like Chibi Robo Photo Finder where like for example you'd get a you needed to find a CD, so you go find a CD-ROM in real life, take a photo with the the 3DS's 0.00005 megapixel camera. And then Chibi-Robo walks into the frame in kind of an augmented reality way, rips that CD off the table, and carries it around. And it's like, that always resonated with me. Now, if we take that tech and put it into
a good camera.
A good camera and a good game, like an iPhone camera, perhaps. Yeah. Or even better, of the Vita's camera.
That poor neglected guy.
Yeah, that camera has been used 2 times.
Both were Tearaway.
Yeah, Tearaway, and then Tearaway again when it puts your face on the sun.
How about this one from St. Olaf Fadaku on Twitter, who says, Kerbal Space Program, but you're building big fucking Gundam-type mechs and they fight and shit.
That sounds pretty good. Are they still manned by, like, little green minions?
Yeah, I guess so. People love those little minions, don't they?
Because
that's what they are. They're fucking minions, guys. I love watching them fall over.
The Venn diagram of the Kerbals, the minions, and the Rabbids, to me, is just a complete circle. My brain literally can't differentiate between minions, Kerbals, and Rabbids.
Yeah. But what's great about this is it's like, it's not like Armored Core where it's like leg blaster and you like switch them into different slots. You're actually placing these things in a 3D sort of builder environment. And I would say 95% of the mechs that get built are just going to fall
just right over. Oh, that's good. Cause as soon as you, it'll have that sort of Kerbal loop of like, as soon as your mech takes its first step, it's going to feel better than when your child takes its first step. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be a moment that you remember. And those fights are going to be really fun to watch.
Very short.
Yeah.
It's going to be like the first season of BattleBots, because now you watch BattleBots and those things are, they all look like square Roombas and they're all just flipping each other over and pinning each other. But like back in the day, it was like, I know it'll work, a flamethrower.
Yeah.
It won't work. It super won't work because you get tipped over once and you're done. My robot's going to have legs. Okay, well, your ass is going to be on the ground.
Right, that was before people realized you can min-max it by just putting a spatula on the front of it and then you win. That's the whole...
And then that's it.
BattleBots has been basically broken wide open for 15 years.
It's gonna be like that. Like the fights are gonna last for one second.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it's gonna be like, I'm gonna fire my rail guy. I blew my own arm off.
Yep, a lot of self defeating. A lot of
yeah. Although I'm into that. Played Bushido Blade with Chris Plant and a few buddies the other night. That game holds up, and holy shit, all video games should last that long.
Just a couple seconds.
Just like a second or two. That's all it takes.
That's pretty good. Would you like another idea?
Please.
All right. Here's one from Shit Laddie, MySpace Kered on Twitter, who says, a class-based shooter where each class is designed for a specific peripheral, i.e. a steering wheel or a DDR pad. Which I love this idea because it means unlike Rock Band, not everyone has to have every controller if you want to have fun. You just need to get the one for the class you enjoy. The trouble with it, okay, so, like, there's this idea that, like, I think they use for when they're making Magic the Gathering sets of either, like, top-down design or bottom-up design. And top-down design is where they pick the theme first, like, we're gonna do a horror set of cards, and then they just write on the whiteboard, like, vampires and, like, a cellar door, and then they design based off that. And then bottom-up is where they have the mechanic first, and then they have to design the world around that.
Sure.
My concern is that this is gonna be the bottomest-up game design of all time, because the only thing we know right now is that it's, like, a steering wheel, a DDR pad, a Guitar Hero controller, an iToy, like a PS2 iToy, and then we have to design mechanics around each
of
those.
Sega Activator.
Right, yeah, and how do we... I think if we get an e-reader, the GBA e-reader in the mix, that would be good. The problem is that we have to build...
A game
with, like, a Wii Fit board, and if we could figure out whatever warehouse they put all of the little Wii heartbeat detector thing...
Vitality sensor? I don't even think those made it to the old printing press.
They did. Yeah, they probably didn't even get made, huh?
Yeah, I don't know how we would solve for that, because there would be some balance issues. Unless we made it so that, like, the GBA reader character could kill you in a single shot.
Right.
But they would have to swipe the shoot card after swiping in the turn right, turn right, turn right, turn right, turn right.
And realistically, the shoot card would actually be 5 cards, and you have to swipe both sides of each card.
Yeah.
So it's 10 swipes before you can fire.
But it fires off a cannon that lights up half the level.
Right.
There's ways of doing this. I just am too lazy to do that.
Right. I'm thinking of all the different the ways we'd have to get these puzzle pieces to fit together, and it makes me want to go to sleep.
Justin, my brother, sent in just Fester's quest again.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this on Mabim Bam this week, the video game Fester's Quest, and how bonkers it is that this game got made in like 89 before the Addams Family movie happened. And it was also the first Addams Family game. So in summary, it was a fairly dead franchise, and it is a video game about one of the main characters of that franchise. I mean, Uncle Fester's an important part of the fabric of that family, but he's not the natural protagonist.
Right. It's not a virtual Bart situation where you get why they would build it around that character. It's more of a kind of a they spun a wheel and picked Fester.
This would be like if we did the TV show Dinosaurs, only we made it about a game about the grandma.
And instead of the baby.
Instead of the baby or the dad or the cool brother. It's about the grandma, and she has to go around solving dino mysteries. You know, dinosaurs.
Sorry,
Googling dinosaurs?
No, I'm trying to. I'm trying to remember the name of the big dude from Rocket Power, Tito. Fuck! I should have just trusted my gut. I knew it was Tito. I wanted to say Tito, but then I started to think that Tito was Otto because they have the same number of letters in their name.
Rocket Power would be good, but that went off the air in like the early aughts, mm-hmm. Right?
So this would be like if
this the Addams Family ended in what? Like, well, I gotta check the math on this because it's astonishing.
I think the only explanation
the Addams Family ran from 1964 to 1966. It was three seasons. It was three seasons. And then Fester's Quest...
After a couple decades of complete radio silence from the
Fester's
franchise.
Quest came out in 1989. That was 23 years after this TV show that ran for three seasons. And Sunsoft said, that's the one.
That's the only... I mean, like, this must have been one of those situations where this was somebody's passion project, right? There was no financial reason for that game to get made. Somebody just fought hard for that to come to fruition.
I'm Googling TV shows that ended in 1995. Here are things that we could do video games about. Wildcats. My So-Called Life. My Brother and Me. Not the podcast I do, but the Nickelodeon show about the brothers. Ghost Rider.
Well, hold on now.
Now, hold on just a fucking second.
Now, that seems... I mean, Ghost Rider was conceived in an era before online-connected multiplayer video games.
Fucking Blossom. This is our Blossom game, starring not Blossom 6 or Joey Lawrence, someone else. Welcome to Northern Exposure, the video game. No one even knows, man.
Here's one from Daniel Weimels. There's no way I'm saying that right on Twitter. It's Super Mario Galaxy for Flat Earth people.
Is that a real cause?
What, is that Flat a real... Earth?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I promise you. I think I mentioned on the show before, but my girlfriend had teaching her all about this. In an Uber ride.
Okay, so it's just then that just sounds like Super Mario 64.
I guess it is, except
you
Mario Galaxy physics applies. So if you fall off the side of a Mario 64 level, you're on the underside of it. Is that how Flat Earth works?
I don't think anybody's quite sure.
Yeah. They are kind of just guessing. Well,
it's almost like they're making shit up as they go.
It's almost like they're just guessing. You know what? I don't know about that, but I do have this one from Stephen Hoover, which is, you are trying to live in a movie theater, but the ushers are getting suspicious.
I'm into that. Does it just have to be a movie theater? Can it be a stealth survival game where you're just trying to live in a particular type of building while the administrators of that building try to keep you out?
Yes.
So almost like the terminal with Thomas Hanks?
I love that. So the way that Hitman is working, the new 2016 Hitman, is that every couple months they release a new level and it's gigantic and you want to really get to know it and explore the inside.
Should I play that? I see some people playing that.
Man, it's really cool. It took me a while to realize how cool it is, but this weekend was the weekend where it clicked for me and I realized that like I can make a nasty spaghetti for this man and then ring the dinner bell, then run over to the building across the street where I left a sniper rifle on the roof that was too big to carry, and then just kind of pop him in the dome while he's throwing up from the nasty spaghetti I made for him out of expired.
Why did you have to feed the nasty spaghetti? That just seems cruel. Like, if you're gonna pop him, like, why do you have to give him nasty spaghetti as well?
Well, I guess what I was thinking is if he ate the nasty expired spaghetti sauce, he would hang out a little longer. And I was right.
I guess so. It seems like it could have gone either way. But like, okay, so movie theater is obvious. Museum, like, you have to live in a museum, and so you have to, like, hide from Ben Affleck isn't the one. Stiller, Ben Stiller was the one.
Yeah.
And you have to hide from him, but the whole time. But you also need to fucking eat.
That's
so you
the
gotta
hardest
get.
Part. I mean, well, that's what's fun about it, is the movie theater. There's obviously a situation where your biggest obstacle, I think, is that the ushers are like, back again, huh? And you're like, yep, I really wanted to see Star Trek Beyond for the 19th time. Just give me 3 large popcorns and 2 juices and 1 of each candy, and you're set on food. But the harder thing for that is going to be, I guess, your sleeping arrangement might not be that bad. But then when you're in the museum, in terms of food, you're kind of limited to...
You're very limited to, like, astronaut ice cream.
Yeah. Like, sort of rock sugar rock candy.
Yeah.
And then maybe if you could go to kind of the greenery section of the museum and eat some of the leaves, but look out because they could be fake.
Yeah. I'm imagining kind of a Merc versus Spy situation.
Yeah, all right.
Which, how is that not the multiplayer component of every video game now?
I was thinking they would be... fantastic if they did that for Hitman. I don't think they've ever done a multi. I'm sure they have at one point, but like a multiplayer Hitman where everyone is guarding like a mansion and you're the Hitman.
Yeah, I mean, yes. If you haven't played some of the later Splinter Cell games, there's a mode called Merc versus Spy where the Mercs were first person shooter controls, mm-hmm. And you had certain like traps that you could set to try and stop these spies who handled it from a third person Splinter Cell stealth
perspective. Was it like 2-on-4? I remember playing it, and it was like this very
it was two on two.
Yeah, and it was just this highly asymmetrical thing. They just,
fucking
it was like
totally
two
rad
video games meeting in the middle. It was really tight.
It was really cool. So I'm imagining something like that where there's some people just like looking out, trying to keep Tom Hanks from doing his dark deeds, but Tom Hanks is in there in the mix. He's stolen the Constitution and eaten it or something. I don't know.
We are kind of in a era of resurgence for like asymmetrical multiplayer. Evolve was an attempt at that. There's a couple of horror games right now where it's like 4-on-1 and one person's a murderer. But I think no one's done the kind of whimsical, more pleasant vibe of trying to get away with free real estate.
Yeah.
That's
what other levels would there be? School? Night at the Museum 2.
I think just a public library would be promising.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be easy, I think, because you could just hide in the stacks. That would be easy enough.
Of books?
Yeah. Can I do one more?
Yeah, what do you got?
I like that one all right. I like this one better, I think. It's from Sion. Seshoho Sion. Who says, control of a car gets constantly passed between players in 5-second intervals. The player in control, when the car crashes, loses. It is hot potato driver's seat, where there's a virtual car that you're just driving around through like an obstacle course or something like that.
Yeah.
Only every 5 seconds, it gets passed to somebody else.
That's really good. So I think right off the bat, we need to, just to make it fair, the car should be kind of always accelerating, because if you could just throw it in park when your turn comes around, it would make saving the car too easy.
But no, you don't understand. The player before you would have to put it in park and then you pick it up, but they would never do that to you. They would try to goof you up really bad. If anything,
what I'm saying is that parking would make it too easy for the player who's trying to keep the car safe.
But that's not what they're doing. They're going to keep it. It's going to be, you have 5 seconds, right? So I'm driving the car and it's about to pass you. 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2. I point it at a wall and just goose the accelerator. 1 and enjoy, Nick, you're dead.
Right. Okay.
That's what's really going to happen.
So everyone is trying to
keep the car safe while goofing over the next player.
Got it. So if it gets damaged while you're in the hot seat, you lose. Okay.
Yes.
That's great then. It's not like a one person's into it, one person's destroying it thing. Okay, that's good.
I think we have to have a factor of that. What's that term that you keep yomi?
Yeah, there needs to be yomi.
Is that what it's called where you like try to guess what the other person is?
Yeah, it's called yami yugi.
You know all these terms,
mm-hmm.
And it's so frustrating to me because I'm almost 30 and I don't know the terms.
Uh-huh. It's called Yami Yugi in Japan. It's called Dark Yugi in America.
Yomi is the Japanese word for the land of the dead.
Yeah. And Yugi is the main character of Yu-Gi-Oh!
You're right about that.
Anyways, no, you're right. There should be a heavy mind
game. Gomi? It's not Gomi. Gummy? Cummies. What's it called? You know the term.
I think it's Yomi. Yeah, Y-O-M-I. Yeah, so Yomi, the term which came from the Virtual Fighter community.
So I did get it right. Then, oh, God.
Yeah.
I think there's a Yomi element in which every player has a controller, right? It's just the car is being passed between the controllers.
Right.
And I think what you can do is maybe once per game, or maybe it's on a cooldown, everybody has special abilities. And I think one of the special abilities is simply you add 1 second to the current player's timer. So they, like, get wise, and they go to, like, goose it and drive it directly into a wall, hoping to pass it off.
Oh,
only you,
my God. Beep,
hit them with that extra second to their timer, and then it crashes on their watch.
That's excellent. This is very good.
What could the other special ability... Maybe one of the special abilities is just, like, handbrake, and you force the current player to, like, just, like, hit the handbrake very, very, very quickly.
Just flip the car entirely.
Well, no, I don't think you could get a guaranteed thing. I want these mind games to apply. Maybe you make something appear in the road, and that's, like, your ability. So they still have a chance to, like, get out of the way of it.
And to add to the levels of Yomi at play, you could add, like, a holographic thing in the middle of the road, which they think is an obstacle,
oh,
but really
my God,
is blocking
yes.
the only safe path.
Yes. Maybe one of the Yomi things is you can subtract a second from your own timer. Or you can press it to skip your turn and make it go on to the next person, Uno style.
That's good. So, like, once per game, you can do that. So if
or reverse the turn order completely.
And you can't see what's going on when it's not your turn, I think. It's just a black screen. So
this is going to be a dope-ass party game. I think you can see what's going on. I think this is... I'm imagining a local multiplayer experience.
Okay. Well, in that case, that does introduce some mind game elements. One thing I've always admired about, like, Madden and stuff is that element of picking your play, and it's hidden from the other players. Like, they can't see what you're picking.
Mm,
so I love
okay.
the idea of your remaining abilities being mapped to your face buttons, which is always active.
So you know what you're hitting, but they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
I do like the idea of being able to deploy a ramp in the middle of someone else's turn.
Oh, yeah, that would be so good. And maybe whenever the control passes off, you get, like, a freeze frame, like, pan around the scene. So if they are, like, an inch away from hitting a wall, like, everybody just knows it.
Yeah.
And you get, like, a little snapshot there.
That's really good. Oh, this sounds excellent. I want this game to be real.
I want this game to be real, too. There's got to be more to it, though. We got to do more.
What's the spice?
What's the species spice?
Is there a brand that we tie into it?
Farmers Insurance. It's not called Farmers Insurance. What is it? Farmhouse Insurance.
Yeah, Farmers Insurance would be insurance for farmers.
Geico, with the lizard man.
So
he's the driver.
He's driving the car.
And when he wrecks, he's like, "Oh, beats, Gav. You really jimmied my shuttle."
Okay. And so we're going to go to Geico and say, "Hey, we made a game about murdering your mascot with friends."
No, he'll be fine. He'll like rubber body out of the okay. windshield, and then he'll stand up and say, like, "Oh, Jiminy Biscuits scraped my knees. Geico's $15 or more on your 15 minutes of shirt insurance."
I do like that. And then it just plays three Geico commercials back to back before the next round begins.
Yeah, and each one has a different mascot because they've lost their minds over there.
Yeah, they're really trying to diversify.
Why stop at four players?
Okay.
Why not juice it up to like 100 online players? And so, then it's a last man standing.
You know, how about, fuck that. How about we go full on fucking... What's that game, like Agario or whatever, where you're just
ball?
I want this game to be a million players. It's one endless chain where a few spots on the chain are active at all times, and you're constantly just one endless game that is connecting every player all at once.
How are we going to maintain, like, the multiplayer loop of it, though? Is each car going to be controlled by several people? It would be hard to really time that out, though. I'm worried about that.
I see what you're saying. Like, the problem would be your turn would only come around every 3.5 years.
Yeah, I don't like multiple cars. I don't like multiple cars. And I'll tell you why. Because this is a game about people trying to crash a single car using itself. Like, that's the beauty of the thing. And if we have multiple people trying a destruction derby, we're going to take away all of the elegance of this game. I want this shit to be chess with a single car that you're just trying to goof up. Maybe there's some sort of system where, to recharge your abilities, you have to do stunts. So there has to be some sort of risk-reward where you are driving riskily, like into oncoming traffic burnout style, so, or doing drifts and shit like that to recharge your abilities, because that's the only way that you can.
So if you put a ramp in front of me and I perfectly respond by hitting it at a cool angle, doing a corkscrew and landing it, that recharges all four of my abilities.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm loving that.
Because otherwise you could just like slam on the brakes, bring the car to a stop every time that it's your turn, and most of the time that'll be a winning tactic. And maybe that is what you want to do, but you lose charge if you do that.
Yeah, that's why I was opposed to braking at all. I also think
that's one of the Yomi abilities, is you have to press a button and then they get a little notification on their screen, like the movie Speed, where if they go below 50 miles an hour, they explode.
That's good.
So you like fucking force them to gun it.
If Gary has hit the brakes his past three turns, you're like, not this time, Gary.
Not this time, Gary.
Gone.
Speed.
Oh, that's nice.
That's a good one.
You know what's really, I enjoy, there's a VR game, Griffin, that you showed me once, where you're in the front seat of a car that's in the back of an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we are, when in doubt, we do VR, but like, there's something really compelling about actually sitting in that driver's seat for your 5 seconds and having a ton of freedom. Because like, if we make this a traditional holding like a controller in your hands racing game, there's only so many verbs that you can impart on the car, like go fast, go slow, move here, move there, to play a power up. But if you're in the driver's seat, you can use your 5 seconds to like maybe punch through the windshield and grab out the windshield wiper fluid and then rub that all over the screen so that for the next guy, they can't see what's coming up next. Or like, there's so much you can do in the driver's seat of a car to kind of screw it up for the next player that I think is very powerful.
Yeah, it's going to... again, I'm worried about the balance of it. Because then I think we're going to get into a situation where every single time, people are going to punch through the front console of the car. They're going to like reach over. There's always peanut butter in the glove box.
Mm-hmm.
You're always going to smear it on the screen.
I think... So I've been playing Duck Game. Duck Game is a Steam game. It's kind of like a Smash Brothers or Towerfall situation, but the levels are extremely randomized. So you're a bunch of... It's like a 2D side-scroll thing where everyone's a duck, and like sometimes you'll get a round where it's like all grenades and sniper rifles, or you'll get a round where it's all swords and suits of armor and there's no way out of the level, or the only gun is a gun that puts the duck in a bag, and the only way to kill him is to put other ducks in bags and pick them up and throw them in the lava. I think this game could be cool if the make and model of the car is randomized after every game. The contents of the car are randomized after every game. Whether or not the seat can be leaned back is randomized. Like a whole...
Yeah. Oh, shit. I mean, that's a good one. That's a good one. You just, like, recline the seat all of the way.
You recline the seat all the way, and then you take the seat belt in the back of the car and buckle it around your own torso, your shoulders.
Yeah.
And so they spend most of their turn trying to unbuckle both seat belts before they realize that you've been holding down the gas the whole time, and they're heading for a wall.
To me, this sounds like a separate mode. To me, this sounds like there's the driving the car mode, which is sort of the macro scale.
Yes.
And then I think there's a micro scale.
Like a VR mode. A VR party mode.
Yeah. Maybe this is a collection of car danger games.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different ways to, like, goof it up. So maybe there's an asynchronous mode where on your turn, I'm playing the game, and I have 1 minute to just fuck your car up. And then you have to drive it through a course.
That's cool.
And
play-by-email situation.
Based on how far you get a certain number of points, and then you get 1 minute to fuck my car up. But it's your car that you've customized, and you've laid booby traps.
Okay.
So they, like, rip the front... They lift up the hood, and if they do it too fast without checking for trip wires, they, you know, blow off one of their hands, and then they can only have one hand to, like, goof up your ride.
There's a phrase that you just said that I think could be in the running for the title of this game, which is, you fucked my car up.
Yeah.
Exclamation mark. Kind of a...
I don't want to... Like, the swearing I don't
I know that
love.
We can't have a cuss in there, but the you sunk my battleship style cadence of it, I think, is what's resonating with me.
Yeah.
How do you... We can make it a little more teen friendly. You fricked my car up. Freaked my car up.
Not my car.
Not my car. Anything but my car. I love that because why would
anything but my anything but my car?
So wait, maybe we call it anything but my engine. So it's like anything with an engine, but we've switched it up.
Mm.
Is there too much brand confusion with
that? A little
bit
too much brand confusion. What about bottom gear?
Okay. Well, that's I see again.
What about West Coast Bustums?
I do like West Coast Bustums. Bottomgear.com is $2,595, so I don't think we're going to be able to make that work.
Well, look at just what about Bustums?
Bustums? I'm assuming, by the way, Bust EMS, right?
Yeah.
I'm finding a lot of websites that are about breaking up unions for emergency medical services.
Oh, yeah.
Bust EMS. That's not what we're looking for.
Well, we could do a mashup. It's been bad the past few times, but we could do like I'll say a danger word, and you say a car word.
A car word, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm ready.
Okay. Three, two, one, and we say it on go.
Yeah,
we'll say it on go. Okay.
Say it on go.
Three, two, one.
Steering.
Havoc. Havoc steering.
Steering Havoc sounds more like a kind of like a 2000s arcade game. You want to do one more?
3, 2, 1. Fiesta
on wheels.
Mine
kind of needed to be appended to yours. Mine was on wheels.
Oh, I see. Mine was Fiasco.
So Fiasco on wheels.
Havoc on wheels might be better.
Yeah.
Tokyo shit.
Tokyo shit is pretty good. How could we? Because I think sabotage is a fun word.
Sabotage.
Can we cabotage?
Sabotage rally.
Sabotage rally has that nice assonance to it.
Sabotage rally is fucking good. Sabotage rally is the name of the game. It is a competitive car crashing game where you try to bust up your friends, and there's multiple modes. There's the main sabotage rally mode where you just drive and you have all these Yomi elements. Mm-hmm. And then there's the VR, just like fuck up the windshield for the most part elements. And then there's the asynchronous goof up the car that your friend has to drive elements.
I'm going to be pissed off if somebody doesn't take this idea and make a real game out of it, honestly.
I'll be pissed off if, like, this Barbershop Online, we're on a streak, dude.
We are. 2 out of 3. We're 2/3 of the way towards a hat trick. And you know what happens when we get 3 good game ideas
in a row? What was the game before Barbershop?
Ooh.
Because I feel like it might have been good.
You might be right. It was Spooky Sunday and Age Play Experience before.
Okay, so we're at 2 out of 3 then.
Yeah. We just got to really nail it next week. I think that's the
dude,
only...
we're going to really nail it next week.
Oh, I'm going to be so happy.
Fucking Sabotage Rally. What platforms is this for? Okay, I mean, we have a few more minutes now. We can come up with sort of a marketing plan because we almost never have time for that.
Right.
We've kind of been like in think tank mode, just like design, and we'll let those suits handle the money stuff. But I don't trust the suits to not botch this one.
Me too. I think... this game has got to be VR optional, obviously.
Yes.
And I'm totally with you that this game is going to herald the local multiplayer revolution that you and I have both been dreaming of. So I'm thinking, I would love this being like a PlayStation VR launch title that also works without PlayStation. And here's why, or without the PSVR. I think if you do own a PSVR, there's a lot of cool possibilities with that sort of second screen experience where mm-hmm. you're in the driver's seat in VR while your friends are looking at the TV, kind of harassing your vehicle.
Yeah,
in,
for sure.
In other ways while you're in it.
Yeah, I think that could be cool, but again, completely optional. What's the tag? Like, what's the marketing material? Like, are we going to put this on store shelves? Are we talking about a digital release? Are we going to go PlayStation Plus? Is it going to be a freebie? I don't want it to be. I want people to pay their hard-earned money for it. I'm not really sure how that arrangement works.
Me neither. I
know. Are we only going single platform? Are we going to PlayStation
here's
exclusive?
Here's the thing, Griffin. Do you want to know the last time an incredible vehicular game was made free on PlayStation Plus? It was Rocket League, and that's the most popular video game of all time. They're having a tournament in LA. If we give out this game for free, if we're that confident in our game design, if we know it's good...
And
I do too. If we know this is the next big esport, I think we'd be stupid not to give it out for free.
Okay, then we'll do that, and then we'll, I guess, release more shit and charge people at the A for those.
Oh, totally. We'll have the fucking Back to the Future car in there. That's going to be $99.
Dude. We're going to have our own form of hair pills in here somehow.
We got to find that golden hair pill for, I think, virtually every free-to-play title we release going forward.
There's going to be people giving fucking, like, GDC seminars about hair pills. The name of the speech is going to be like hair pills. Who knew?
What's your hair pill? Helping you find your hair pill for your game.
Free release on PS for PlayStation Plus, and then I guess they'll give us money. Like, I guess Shuhei just like cuts us a check. I'm not sure how it works.
You get some money when that happens.
Kazurai comes to my house with like a publisher's clearinghouse check. I don't even know what that fool's up to, but
he's working on those big checks all day. Because this could be a deal breaker for me. They're not going to make us make a Vita version, are they?
No. They haven't made a Vita version of Vita games themselves.
That's true. It's a fun fact. There's no Vita version of Severed. When they put it out on the iPhone, they actually deleted the Vita version from everyone's console.
That's it for this week. It's a bit of a short episode, but that when you have a fucking
when
genius
inspiration
stroke,
strikes, you just got to hop on top of it.
And by inspiration strikes, we mean thank you, Sion, for that killer suggestion.
Good idea.
Thanks everybody for sending in your suggestions.
Yeah, they're another good batch. We have a tendency, I think. We gotta be better about reminding ourselves that like these ideas are
everything
other
we've ever done is stolen.
Yeah, 100%. We're like, hey, check it out, we made the best game ever. Like we did, but also someone did, and then we said it, and now it's
sometimes
ours.
Barbershop Online started from a picture of a sign, and I feel like we can claim ownership of that. This was the suggestion was literally everything we just spent the last 30 minutes
we
saying.
Just expanded. We need to just put something in our Twitter bio, twitter.com/coolgamesinc, that is like, by the way, all tweets tweeted directly at this account are the property of Vox Media Incorporated, all rights reserved, 2016.
Absolutely. Anyway, that's going to do it. Thank you all for listening. If you could tell a friend about the show, we'd appreciate it. If you could rate us on iTunes, that's also very, very cool.
Yeah, I constantly see people on Twitter suggesting the show to friends who are asking for good podcasts to listen to, and that makes me happy every time it happens. I'm
also see a lot of people send in suggestions throughout the week. I implore you, please do not do that until we send out the tweet from the Cool Games Inc. account when we're recording. Because we just don't look at the suggestions all throughout the week. And even if we look at them, we don't really like go that far back to consider them. Because again, we get thousands of suggestions every time we put out that tweet. So we can't go back and look at the one that you sent a week and a half ago or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you very much for listening. Until next time, I'm Griffin McElroy.
I'm Nick Robinson.
No problem. Fine.